Amen. Thank you. Is Matthew still in here? Where'd he go? Hey, check the copier in Michaela's old office. Frank, is there any notes on the copier back there? I did this Wednesday night, and the copier wasn't working. And so I wanted to make sure that it worked this morning. I read a joke in a book that Kathy gave me, and it said one lady was bragging that her pastor could take any subject and preach on it for an hour. And the other lady responded and said, "My preacher can speak for a whole hour and have no subject." So I hope two things. I'm not going to preach for an hour, and I do have a subject this morning. We're on our series titled Together. Last week we looked at the culture of grace life and what we're trying to cultivate here, and really saying that this is us. This is who we are, and what God has called us to here. There are a few sheets left on the back table that will explain to you how we are a graceful church and what our core values are. This morning I want to look at community. Last week we looked at the culture. This morning we're going to look at the body of Christ and the community of faith gathering together. Traditionally in the United States, people have gone to church on Sundays. That's been the tradition down through the years that we have gone to church on Sunday. Years gone by, on Sunday morning, there were more people in church than all of the NFL football games combined for 1 year. So take all of the attendance at all of the NFL football games for a whole year, and on any given Sunday morning in the United States, there were more people in church. But unfortunately, the new trend, which is universal, but we especially see it here in America, is that there are fewer and fewer people attending church. Each year, it's been declining. Now, George Barna is a researcher. He does a lot of research on the church. And in his most recent survey in 2016, he said 73% of all Americans claim to be Christians. 73% in 2016. He also found out that only 31% of those 73% attend church, which means there's only 17% of Americans attending church. Yet 73% of us call ourselves Christians. I'm not saying that you have to go to church to be a Christian, but I'm saying if you're a Christian, you ought to go to church. Okay? Because I have heard the phrase, and you've heard it too, and you've probably heard me say it, that we don't go to church, we are the church. And while I agree with that statement, I want to add that yes, we are the church, and because we are, then we ought to gather together regularly and collectively. And what we mean by saying we are the church, we don't go to church, you didn't come to church this morning. You came to a gathering of the church because you are the church. And anywhere we go, the kingdom of God is in operation, and we are the church wherever we are. So we could be meeting at Starbucks, and we are the church there. You could be ministering to the homeless on the streets, and you are the church. But when we come together, you're not coming to church, you're coming to a gathering. And then the kingdom of God is in operation individually in our lives, but collectively when we come together, there are benefits of that. A few of our core values that were on that sheet from last week deal with the subject of community, family, and unity. And as a community of faith, Grace Life is a place to believe, be loved, and belong. That's what we've been saying from the very beginning. That was our kind of our three-point slogan from the get-go, is that we wanted people to come to a place where they could believe, because most people can't tell you what they believe, but they can tell you what they don't believe. We don't believe in wearing this, and we don't believe in wearing makeup, and we don't believe in earrings, and we don't believe in this, and we don't. I'm not asking you what you don't. The church is full of believers who don't believe anything, or at least sometimes they don't know what they believe. And let me chase a rabbit for just a second. One of the things that we want you to do is to think and believe on your own. For too long, we have allowed people behind pulpits to dictate to us and indoctrinate us with what they feel about the scripture, and we've not challenged people like Lisa just did with us to throw out a thought and go home and study that. Dig into the word. See what the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the scripture. Because no one can argue with you of the revelation. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. But I can't give you the revelation. I can give you information, but Holy Spirit gives revelation, and information along with revelation will bring transformation. But as a community of faith, we want this to be a place where you believe, you begin to know what you believe and why you believe that. And then we want this to be a place where you are loved. Everybody is loved. And you will be loved here by God's grace. And it's a place to belong, a sense of belonging. When we come together, you should be able to feel like that we belong. I want to give kudos. Is that how you say it? Kudos. I almost said Cujo. Kudos to Pastor B.J. Roberts and Tasha. We pulled into a football game Friday night, and they had the only tent set up for tailgating. And they invited Lisa and I over to eat some of their pulled pork barbecue and macaroni and cheese. But that was the kingdom. Though we may believe different things and have different assignments and mandates, because of the kingdom, we were able to just pull right in and fellowship with them and have a wonderful time, and it was a blessing. So if you see them anywhere, tell them that your pastor was blessed by their generosity. But we are a community in that we belong to the universal body of Christ. I mean, there are more included in the body of Christ this morning than what's here at Grace Life Church. But we are a local part of the body of Christ, universal, and that makes us a community. We're a family where everyone has something to contribute. Gifts were in operation this morning as these couples. There's other gifts. This is just how the Holy Spirit led this morning. Each of you has a gift. Paul encouraged the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 14 that when they came together, that you should have a song, a hymn, a prophecy, have something on your heart. And then as the Holy Spirit directs that service and you have an opportunity, you should already have something to contribute. That's what the family does when we come together for family reunions. Everybody brings something. There's a place at the table for everyone, and all have a place of honor. We are a family of families. And then at Grace Life, it's a place where you can grow in Christ, and Christ is formed in people. And so we have unity in the essentials, and we have love in the non-essentials. And we encourage you not to stay the same. So coming together then gives us a sense of belonging. It promotes connections. Some of those connections are business ventures. You shouldn't come to the house of God. This is really not his house. You are the house, but you're gathering that we call the house of God, looking for business connections. But if you'll come together to meet with the family, God will bring connections together. Okay? Some men are bad about going to church to try to find a companion. It's not a bad place to find one, but if that's your intent. But as you come together with those of like-mindedness in a community of faith, God may lead you to a companion. So those connections are there, and then he creates community amongst us. So what's community? Community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, common interests, and goals while living and growing together. It's having a similar identity. And we all find our identity in Christ. So when we gather together, we have a similar identity. We can relate to that. We can help each other grow. The problem, unfortunately, has been that we have promoted our differences over our common ground. And because we've focused on our differences, it's brought division. And like I said last week, differences make us unique. That's not division. And so in our uniqueness, we can still have unity in our diversity. So let's look at a few things this morning. We were created for community. God said in the very beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. So he wanted Adam to have a companion, but from that companionship, they began to multiply, and in that multiplication, community was formed, and we weren't alone, and we're still not called to be alone. When you isolate yourself, it's usually not good for you. You need to come together. We need that's in the word. When we say gather, what are we saying? It means coming together, bringing the parts together as a whole. And you'll find out this morning that we are one body but many members, and when we come together, there's connection of the body together, and then the body ministers to itself. Just real quick, why aren't people attending church? It said 17% of America is attending church, and only 31% of those that call themselves Christians. So why aren't they attending church? I'll give you a few reasons real quick. Boring. They're just not, we can't expect unbelievers to act like believers. So a lot of people aren't going to church simply because they're not believers. Here's another reason. They don't have a reason. There's no reason. They have found another faith to follow that doesn't require them to attend church. They don't like the sermons. They don't feel welcomed. They don't have time. Poor health. Or here's an excuse, nowhere close. So when they ask the 17%, why do you go to church? Here's some reasons why people come to church. See if you fit in any of these real quick. I feel closer to God when I'm at church. It gives their kids a moral foundation. We found a lot of people that have drifted from church after they finished high school, but then they get married and have kids, and then they want to raise their kids, and they want to give them a moral foundation. They come to church. It helps them feel like they're becoming a better person. Gives them comfort in times of sorrow. They like the pastor's sermons. See any hands? They want to be a part of a family or a faith community. They continue a family tradition. They were raised in church, and so mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, now they're still going to church as tradition. They feel obligated to. They want to meet new people, or they want to please a family member. So those are some reasons that people gather together, good or bad. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me, that's where I want to kind of take our text this morning as we look at verses 19 through 25. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, if you'll allow me to read 6 verses here. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, bodily, boldly, with no hesitation. For he has a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent king priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. And now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. So now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. I encourage you to join us over the next few Wednesday nights as we look at the promises of God. Verse 24, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is the main text. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. Let's look at a couple of things from this scripture. It says to consider one another. In the Amplified, it says it this way. Consider one another in order to do two things. Number one, to stir up love. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us that it's not time to neglect joining together and gathering together, because when we come together, we can stir up love. God knows there's enough hate in the world that when we can come together, we can stir up love in one another, and you're going to find out that that has a spilling over effect. Then to stir up good works. It's amazing in churches that are really preaching grace at this point in juncture, they get so caught up in that it's salvation is not a work, that most of the people don't do anything at all. They've become spiritual couch potatoes. But we were saved unto good works. So when we come together, we stir each other up to do good works. Because you might hear, as you consider your brother or your sister, a need that they have, that stirs up in you to do a work of compassion or good works for that individual, or even something that's going on in the community. I like what the Passion Bible says here. It says to discover creative ways to encourage one another. I know people that have written cards. I know people that have shown up anonymously and done people's yard work, all types of different creative ways to encourage one another. A group of us met together last night trying to come up with creative ways to meet the needs of our community. There are constantly people that need electric bills paid, medical needs that need to be taken care of. One of the big needs we're finding out in our community is a lot of the residual effects of consequences of drugs. There's so much drug use that it's trickled down, and as it's trickled down, people don't even have a way to get transportation to meet basic needs because they've sold cars or had wrecks or whatever because of their drug addictions. And so how do we meet? We've got to become creative in the ways, and when we get together last night as a group and creative juices began to flow, a lot of different things came out of that. That's why we gather together as the body of Christ. We can motivate one another towards acts of compassion. Beautiful works as expressions of God's love. One of my comments last night in this meeting with a bunch of brothers and sisters was that a lot of this has got to be taken care of by simply teaching the body of Christ to be the body. It's, you know, we can throw money at a lot of different issues, but until we learn that once we leave these four walls, if we're not acting in love, if we're not acting in compassion, a lot of people have passion for different topics and issues, but they have no compassion. Jesus was never moved by passion. He was moved by compassion, and he healed everyone. He took care of the needs of those that were presented in front of him, not out of passion. Doesn't mean he didn't love people. I believe he had a passion for people. But out of compassion, he was moved and he took care of their needs. This isn't the time to pull away and neglect our meeting together. It was already becoming a habit in the early church for them to isolate and to pull away from meeting together. And the writer says here in verse 25, in fact, we should probably come together more frequently and eager to encourage, urging each other onward. I believe that that can be in small groups, that can be groups in your homes, but the body of Christ meeting together is not just on Sunday mornings. I think that's a resourceful time. I think that's a great time for us to do that, but as the body of Christ, we should be meeting together more regularly and more collectively. And I'm concerned that we've gotten so busy. I know that my schedule is busy. We have family needs. We have attention to parents growing older. We have attention to kids playing ball games. We have attention to our work schedules. We have all of our intentions that are directed, our attention directed in all types of areas, but we've not neglected being intentional about attending church. Now, it's difficult sometimes to preach and teach this type of message when you are here this morning. This is one of those times where we sit in our seats and we're thinking, this one's not here. They need to hear this message. And, well, that one's not. They need to hear this message. And you're right, they do, but we still need to hear it because we've got to be. I've been to a point over the last several weeks in thinking and preparing this. I want to be as an intentional in preparing a message every Sunday morning that as intentional as I am on Easter Sunday morning. I think that we can sing about the resurrection and we can talk about the resurrection and the new life that comes, and we can be intentional about getting to church as intentionally as we are on Easter Sunday. Because there'll be 250 to 300 people here on Easter Sunday morning, and then they don't everywhere. That's everywhere, not just Grace Life. But then we're not intentional about coming other times. This is not a beat you up message. This is an encourage you, because the benefits of coming together are tremendous to us. Let's look at, we should practice coming and gathering together. It should be our practice. Why should it be our practice to come together as the body of Christ and join together? Well, Jesus, it was his habit. In Luke, the 4th chapter, it says, when he came to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as his custom was, one translation says, and as he usually did, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus was an intentional church attender. I mean, Luke 4:16 says it was his custom, or another word for custom there is practice. Another word for practice for us is habit. It was his habit and it was his custom and practice that on this given day in his culture, they had an assigned day that they came together collectively, that Jesus made an intentional decision to go to church. As we followed the example of our Lord in baptism, do you think we should follow the example of our Lord in church attendance? Why did he go? It was a place growing up where he learned. It brought spiritual development. One of the things, this is a statement that I want to make here, none of us is as smart as all of us. I might think that I'm smart and make a decision, but if I would have gotten together with the body of Christ and learned, then all together we are a lot smarter than one of us is by ourselves. That's why Scripture says that there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. It was his custom, it was his habit, but it was also on a specific day. Now, I know we have friends that they meet on Monday nights. Their church gathers together on Monday nights. They did. I think they might have changed that to Sunday, but they were meeting on Monday nights. They were meeting in a bar because the bar was closed on Monday nights, and that's the only facility they could find to rent. And the name of their church is Word That Frees. And so their initials are WTF. I love it. There is power in coming together. I'm sorry? Every day, you're right. I had that in my notes. Every day is a Sabbath day. And my point was to be, if whatever day you choose to collectively come together. At this particular point, it's been a tradition that we've gathered on Sundays. That's when most people have off work, and so we've gathered together on Sundays. But be intentional about it. There's power in coming together. Do you know the story of what was the Tower of Babel? That they were trying to reach God in Genesis, the 11th chapter, by coming together. You know, God didn't really rebuke that as a whole. Look at what he says in chapter 11 of Genesis, verse 6. He said, look, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do, one translation says, nothing they put their mind to, will be impossible for them. When we come together collectively and we have one mind, one heart, and our intentions are to grow together, learn together, lift up the Lord, glean from one another, there's power in that unity. And when we see that power, God begins to do things. Now, God can work individually. I mean, I've had some special times with God alone, and He's moved in my life in personal, private worship, and it's been a wonderful time. But I'm telling you, there have been times of great power that I've experienced when I've come collectively together with the body of Christ, and every gift is in operation through the body, and there's just such a power that flows in and through that. Some of the principles of gathering together are for mutual effort, mutual support, mutual encouragement, and mutual strength. There are sometimes, even as a pastor, when I get to church, I don't feel like being here. For various reasons. I mean, I'll just be transparent. And I know that there's times that you've come that you didn't feel like being here. But I don't believe that there has been a time that I've walked away from it that I wasn't glad that I didn't come. Because of mutual effort, mutual support, and encouragement and strength. Gathering together promotes and provides for spiritual growth. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them that they are one body, one spirit, one Lord. And then he tells them in verse 11 that God has given himself to the church five ministries or five offices. He calls them apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And he says that I've given those gifts to the church in order to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. And he said, when we come together collectively, and those offices are in, I believe in the fivefold ministry, I believe they are still evident in the church today. I believe there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I believe we need all of them in the kingdom of God in operation. The offices of the church supersede the gifts of the church, and all that is for order. That doesn't mean one's more spiritual than another, than the other. That doesn't mean that one can have domination over the other. That's just when we come together collectively, the office supersedes the gift so that there's order. Because what happened in Corinthians is this one was jumping up and prophesying while that one was speaking in tongues and this one was singing at the top of their lungs. And he said there just needs to be an order. So Paul said the offices of the church can guide and flow in that. I hope you can understand that. That's an in-depth teaching that we don't have time for this morning, but he says that those offices are given to equip the saints so that we can do the work of the ministry that edifies the body or builds up and strengthens the body of Christ. We can do that one-on-one, but we can also do it collectively. That's why we need to gather together. Lisa has always said that this is a time where we can come together and give resources out to one another so that we can continue to go out of the four walls of the building and minister to the world. It's like a steroid shot of the Holy Ghost to keep us going through the week. Justin came up a few weeks ago and said, you know, he said, I love being in church because I always get something that I'm going to reflect back on through the week that encourages me to keep on going and to encourage other people. And this happens so that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. What was happening in the church at Ephesus is they weren't gathering together collectively, and when they weren't gathering together collectively, every doctrine that came down the pike that somebody brought up, they were just following, causing confusion. Then we can speak the truth in love. See, as you grow and you're no longer a child, but you've come together, the fivefold ministry has ministered. See, I'm a pastor, but there might be some people in this building that are prophets or apostles, and their gift can be an operation in a collective gathering that helps encourage you. Then that will build you up so that you don't stay little children. You can spiritually grow, And here's the thing. When you spiritually grow, we ought to be able to speak to the truth to you in love and you not be offended. See, a child, if they're not mature, and sometimes, don't take this that you lie to your kids. I'm not saying this at all. They can't handle the truth because we haven't been spiritually grown enough to communicate that truth in love. But as we all grow up, we can grow together as we come together, and then spiritual maturity happens. Look at the screen. Spiritual maturity isn't about how much you know. Spiritual maturity is about how much you love. Because you may know more than I do, but if you don't have any love, it doesn't. You just have knowledge, right? So that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. A lot of churches have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any love. And so they're not spiritually mature enough. Frank, if you'd come and just begin to play for me. I want to say a few things quickly, and then I'll let you get out of here. I'll feel like I've released everything that I need to get out. When we gather together, we exercise our gifts. Here's one. We establish accountability. People don't want to be held accountable for their mistakes. We've got to take responsibility. And there's no judgment in that. There's just some accountability in the body of Christ as sons of God. We receive discipline and correction. We increase our faith. And as Hebrews 3 says, we encourage one another to keep on going, to persevere. When the family of God gathers together and experiences refreshment and awakening, it has an overflow effect. What I mentioned earlier. There's an overflow effect of what we receive from one another. And when we receive from one another, that overflow effect then goes into our homes. It affects our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our schools, cities, and even nations are affected when the body of Christ comes together and begins to grow together, and then it splashes out everywhere we go. Now, here's the difference between the early church and the church as we know it today. The early church, they literally lived together. There was such a persecution from the Jews to the point that their lives were at stake for believing the gospel. And so they came together in community and lived together for protection. They lived together for the meeting of common needs. In one place in the book of Acts, you'll find that they laid everything down at the apostles' feet and allowed the apostles to distribute it so that there was no need. Nobody lacked, the scripture says, for anything. So we're not living physically, thank God, 24 hours a day with each other. I can't hardly stand to live with myself sometimes. It would be a difficult thing for us to live together 24/7. It would take Jesus for us to live together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And because the response that I just got, can you imagine, that didn't work very long for the early church. And so by the time, you know, you see churches forming in Ephesus and Corinth and Colossae, the Holy Spirit led and gave these gifts to the church to bring common unity. And so when we come together, there's unity that is being formed that has an overflow effect, that when they went out from their gatherings, it affected their workplaces and their neighborhoods and their schools. I've heard people ask me, you don't talk a lot about revival. The world is lost. Why aren't you talking about revival? Something has to be dead for it to be revived. And the life that Christ gave me is eternal. I got the life of Christ and I received it. Maybe it's just terminology, but I think what really needs to happen is for the church to come together, to meet together, and then to go out and have an overflow effect into the community. You can put whatever label you want to put on it, but basically it's an awakening to what God has already given us and to take that and use it in affecting our communities. And Paul went places, and everywhere that he went, everybody was healed. Jesus did the same thing, but Paul walked through hospitals, if you would, and they were all healed. He was an apostle of God, but he didn't have any different Holy Spirit than you and I have. The overflow effect of what God wants to do in the communities will happen when brothers and sisters meet together, love one each other, grow with each other, and then show that love to the world through acts of compassion and expressions of love. So togetherness unites us, it gives us security, gives us support, and it gives us a sense of belonging. And that's what we want to try to cultivate and create at Grace Life, so that you want to come to church. As a pastor, I'm a human being. I am concerned about you when I don't see you. Okay? That's just who I am. I'm concerned about people. As a pastor, I can look out this morning and I can name 10 or 15 people that aren't here. And those could be various reasons. Some might be working, some might be sick, some might be out of town. I know that when you need somebody to pray with you, you need to bury a loved one, you want to have a wedding performed, you've got somebody in the hospital that you call Grace Life your church. There's a lot of people that aren't here that call Grace Life their church, that call us their pastors. I have some folks that have been here in the building one time and they say, "You're our pastor." And when they have a need, they call us. And I'm grateful for that. But we have dear, dear, dear friends that have got out of the habit of attending church. And we long for them to be back in church. Didn't say they're not saved. Didn't say that heaven won't be their home. There's just an encouragement that they could receive if they would come together. They have all types of questions, and a lot of those questions could get answered if they just make an intention to be in church. I hope that I came across this morning in love and not in beating you up, because I'm not one of these that thinks that your bumper's going to fall off, or your kids are going to get sick if you don't come to church. Would you stand with me, please? Wow. This was more of a message for us this morning. I hope we can. The application here today is what? Come to church. Come gather together as believers. One of the greatest times that I have every single week is dinner on Wednesday nights. Fellowshipping, talking to people, how's your work week been? What's going on in your family? And I have found out more about you around the dinner table than I have any place else on Wednesday nights. And what I mean by that is people's needs, people's likes and dislikes, how I could minister to someone by sending them a card. I was working this week and Pam sent me a message she called me actually, and I wasn't able to answer the phone. I said, "I'll get back with you." And the Lord jogged my memory and I sent her a text and said, "How's your dad? How's your daughter? Things going on?" She appreciated that because I am concerned about you, and she had a need and we wanted to minister to that need. But again, It's when you're setting together fellowshipping that you can find those things out, and God might remind you this week, hey, such and such is having surgery this week or whatever. So I trust that you've been encouraged this morning and that you got something out of the message. Anything on anybody's heart before we go this morning? Yes, ma'am. Yes, thank you. It wasn't on the announcements, but it's in the bulletin. There is a sign-up sheet right back there on the back table. After service next Sunday morning, we're going to gather together for a potato bar. The church is providing the potatoes, but we need chili and cheese and sour cream and all of that type of stuff. And the list is back there. Would you sign up to do that? And remember that next week is back to church Sunday, and we want you to invite someone and bring somebody with you and get them back in the habit of attending church, okay? You have anything? Everybody clear? The glory of the Lord filled the temple. That is exciting, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He's filled you. Take it with you. And we'll say in this benediction that the Lord has blessed you. The Lord is keeping you. He has caused His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. He's turned His countenance towards you, and He's given you peace. Because you are filled with the glory of God, distribute that everywhere you go. Let it be an expression of an overflow to everybody you come in contact with. We love you. God bless you. You have blessed us this week.